Welcome back, Tom Abraham Show. So glad you have joined us on what is right now a beautiful day here in Middle Tennessee. But hold your hats. It's going to be a squirrely night and Saturday as all kinds of storms are coming through. We're even talking about the big T's, the tornadoes possibly coming through. So just kind of hang on. And I gotta be honest with you. My wife said to me, I hadn't cut the grass all week. It's getting a little bit long. I was out of town in Utah broadcasting an arena football game last weekend. She's like, when are you going to hit the grass? I said, I'm thinking I'm hitting it Saturday. Knowing in the back of my mind that the Preds go 2 o'clock NBC. I'm like, I'm going to hit Saturday. I'm going to hit Saturday. And I'm like, damn, I hope it rains. I hope it rains. And now we've got the mother of all rainmakers coming in tomorrow. So I'm just going to hunker down. I gave up golf in the morning for this rainmaker, but I also gave up cutting the grass in the afternoon. And I'll just hunker down and watch the hockey coming up tomorrow afternoon. Brian Duff joins us of the NFL or the NHL Network. I got the draft on the brain right now. The NHL Network's Brian Duff joins us on the W3 Communications Hotline. You go to W3Wire.com for more information on W3 Communications. Brian, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Tom, great to be with you. How are you?
I am. Well, I'm tremendous here. I had said yesterday before the Preds and the Blackhawks that, look, all the hard work that the Preds have done means nothing if the Blackhawks roll up on them, because really now it becomes a best of three. Two of them are in Chicago. Everybody's held serve for all intents and purposes, and Chicago is right back where they need to be. What is the thought in the NHL Network War Room when you guys look at this series right now tied at two?
Well, it's an oversimplification, I'm sure, but I think that's what can happen when you're just, you know, got two teams going head-to-head over a lengthy series. The Predators simply are missing Patrick Hornqvist. Who would have said that at the start of the year? But the power play is killing them, and it killed them last night, the 5-on-3. I mean, we were all glued to it as, you know, Arnott teed off and Weber teed off, and it seemed like it was going to be inevitable, but either through misfiring of their own or just the lack of the agitating presence. And I know we talked about this the last time I was on. Hornqvist has just done such a good job this year becoming, you know, a Thomas Holmstrom type, and they sorely lacked that. And at the end of the day, when you measure what didn't happen there against the skill players for Chicago finally stepping up and basically all of their big names contributing with either a goal or an assist, there's the difference in your game.
Well, and the 5-on-3 goes short too because of the interference call against Leggy. And I got to be honest with you, and I don't bitch about refereeing, but I just thought that was ticky-tacky. It looked clearly like he got jacked from behind on that thing.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a push, but I'll side on the other side of it with that one. I thought Legwan was probably a little irresponsible there, and yet there have been... there are a lot of, put it this way, a lot of these situations on a nightly basis, and they are tough to digest. I just think you've got to be aware of the situation there. Yes, you want, as we just alluded to, a presence in front of the net, mm-hmm. but you've got to be smart about it. You've got to know that this might not come again, this opportunity to have a 5-on-3. So I think Legwan, on the heels of a terrific Game 3, needed to be a little wiser in that situation.
And you got a situation, too, where there were a number of, going back to the Hornqvist deal, there are a number of opportunities missed where they're Hornqvist goals. There's that's that putback. It's those quick hands around the net where he picks it up and puts it home. And you know, with Niemi giving up rebounds left and right, it seems like that's what they were missing. This wasn't like Game 2. The simple thing is to say, well, this is Game 2 all over again. The Preds got out-efforted. Yes, they did get out-efforted, but their effort didn't suck like it did in Game 2. And it was just not having Horny there to put a couple of those back in. I think it's a different game.
Yeah, and I mean, a guy like Joel Ward is asked to do a little bit more, and again, we're not talking about, you know, these perennial 40 and 50 goal guys, so it's a little bit unfair to just say, okay, you go in, do his role, and we're going to expect the best. No, it doesn't work that way, and Jason Arnott's finding that out too, and one can only wonder whether he's close to 100% at this point in time, but you're right. I mean, that was the most unique thing about Hornqvist this year, because it's one thing to just kind of establish yourself as a guy that's starting to get some goals in this league, but to do it in a variety of different ways and really drive people nuts in the process, I think is an incredible you know, tip of the cap in his direction. So again, hopefully we'll see him at some point, but that being said, I still think there's enough skill within Nashville's lineup right now to find a way to push forward, and I think we're due for probably a good long one between these two before this thing's said and done. Now that we're getting into, you know, consecutive nights of multiple overtime games, you can see just the urgency now on all sides in every series, and maybe save for the Devils, who didn't put up much of a fight last night, but I really think that we're in line for probably a good long one coming up here.
Yeah, of course, in the East, and that 7-2 matchup. This was the 7-2 matchup we thought was a dangerous one, and I didn't see anybody off the bottom half winning in those series over there in the Eastern Conference. And who knows, tonight the Bruins could finish off the Sabres as well, and it would be another one where, you know, the bottom half of the bracket takes the victory. But tell me something about the Sharks. It looks like they have come in off the ledge because they were about ready to jump, and they look like what they needed to look like. It seems to be now that one should end pretty quickly and, you know, save a tremendous effort back in Denver out of Colorado. It looks like the Sharks will move on and then be sitting there to see how it all shakes out.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, imagine being a fan of that team, the San Jose Sharks, and knowing what you've been through this past decade on all your playoff failures, and to put yourself in that position after Game 3 with an overtime own goal from Dan Boyle. I can't imagine much of their fan base ever expected that after Game 5 they'd be in a position now to go to Denver and clinch this thing. But for whatever reason last night, and I haven't got to the bottom of it yet, maybe we'll find out a little more later, but boy, Craig Anderson just, he looked like he couldn't skate last night. He was falling all over the place, and whether it's his skates or bad ice or pressure of the moment, I wouldn't think the latter, but you never know. It was just a real disappointing night for a guy who'd been the star of the series, and you wonder if that is the balloon bursting for Colorado. If it has, then it's a heck of a year, and you acknowledge that the better team probably wins out. San Jose has certainly played that way. But again, the one thing to look at from the Sharks' perspective, a few guys chipped in with points, but we're still not seeing domination from the top line that dominated many nights throughout the course of the regular season. So if they get through round one and then still have that ability to jack it up a little bit more, maybe this is a year where San Jose pushes just a little bit farther.
Brian Duff with us on the W3 Communications Hotline. Well, and you also wonder whether or not, you know, you write the story at the end, what was the deal? If San Jose gets through this, and we've often seen, you know, that first round could be the toughest one, if they go on to raise the cup, the story will be someday written that it's that own goal that turned this whole thing around. It was that they came back from that, because most of the people, especially the national guys I talked to, thought that there was no way emotionally that they would recover from that. And if they do, and they go on to win it all, they'll look back and say it was the moment they scored on themselves that team, you know, kind of rallied and lifted themselves up and then said, okay, enough is enough, and turned the deal around.
And the funniest thing about that, or strangest or ironic, I mean, maybe if... Not that you could ever or would ever want to script something like this, but if you had to pick one guy on that Sharks roster that maybe had the mental makeup to recover from such a moment and then continue to be the leader that he is, it would probably be Dan Boyle. I mean, can you imagine, with all the weight that has been put on the shoulders of Thornton and Heatley and Marleau, less for Heatley, obviously, because he's new to the team this year, but, you know, he's got his skeletons in the closet, too, as far as not coming up at the biggest moments. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Dan Boyle is the one guy. I mean, last year when they got eliminated by Anaheim and it was a shocker in round one, it was Boyle that stood there and addressed the media for the longest amount of time and took the heat and really seemed to be the face of that franchise. And that rubbed some people the wrong way, saying, and why is it all on Dan Boyle here? So I think because it was him, because he was emotionally, who wouldn't be, who upset by the moment, but a guy that he wears it all on his sleeve for that team, I think maybe it did inspire the rest of the guys to say, you know what, it's about time we do something for him.
What about Detroit and Phoenix? They're knotted at two as well. Detroit, technically, you know, the underdog there, but nobody wanted to touch Detroit going into this playoff. Mm-hmm. What do you think? How's this going to end up now in their little best of three?
Well, I mean, the Doan injury, whether he plays tonight or not, I mean, it has to, you would think, impact him in some way, and therefore the team. I've not wanted to pick against Detroit at any point in this series, and with Zetterberg playing as well as he is, and with Howard bouncing back, to me, the story tonight is, can Jim Howard deliver consecutive impressive performances in goal? That shutout was maybe one of the best bounce-back games we've seen from a goalie in these playoffs already, and now he's got to do it in consecutive nights and do it on the road in the process. But I've liked him all year. I like him as obviously now a finalist for the Calder Trophy for Rookie of the Year. So between the combination of Howard and Zetterberg and then all the veterans that they have, boy, I think this is a real, real tough hill for Phoenix. I mean, again, it's like Nashville, right? It's an opportunity that goes by the board where you had a chance to go up by two games in a series.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, appreciate you as always, Brian. Tremendous job on NHL Network. We're watching that stuff. Obviously, that's where we get a lot of in-depth information on what's going on. You guys do a tremendous job breaking it down, and we appreciate you coming on.
Stay safe from the crazy weather.
Hopefully we'll talk in round two. How about
all right.
That? Wouldn't that be good for Preds? All right, man. Appreciate you.
Take care.
Brian Duff, NHL Network. They do a great job. He was on the W3 Communications Hotline. Again, go to W3Wire.com for more on that.